Good morning.
Good morning.
Trusting in God. We say that we put our trust in God when we have serious concerns. But we then hold on to the problem and worry about what God's going to do. The Bible has a lot to say about worrying. How can someone stop worrying? I believe it's only through prayer and putting your complete trust into a loving God. Prayer is simply talking to God. Some people like to make prayer too formal, too complicated, unnatural. Prayer is as natural as a little child talking to their daddy. Matthew 6:9 says, Jesus taught them how to pray. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Prayer is make requests to God. Matthew 7:7 tells us to ask, and we will receive. Prayer gives divine power into earthly situations. Genesis 18 tells us how Abraham prayed and interceded for his nephew Lot and his family. The book of Exodus tells us how Israel prayed and was freed from slavery in Egypt. Daniel prayed and the mouth of the lions were kept shut. In 1 Samuel 1, Hannah prayed and was given a son. In Acts 10, Cornelius prayed and God sent an angel and the gospel directly to him. Peter prayed and a young girl was raised from the dead in Acts 9. Does God still answer prayers today like he did back then? In the state of Missouri, January 19th, Martin Luther King Day, in 2015, Joyce Smith's son fell through the ice on St. Louis Lake and was trapped in the water under the ice for 15 minutes until the rescuers got him out. They tried CPR on him, but they couldn't raise a pulse. So at that time, he was clinically dead. They rushed him to the hospital, and the doctors worked on him with CPR and intermittent shock treatments for another 45 minutes and could not raise a pulse. The doctor told the mother that there's nothing more that they could do, that they were going to go out in the hallway and leave her have some time with her son. So they did. And when they went out, John's mother started to pray out loud. And she prayed so loud that the doctors and the nurses heard her out in the hallway. And she prayed with the faith of a mustard seed. And she prayed to God to give her son back to her. And at that time, the heart machine started to record a heartbeat. The doctors and nurses came running back in the room and they put John on a ventilator. The doctor said that he wanted to transfer John to a bigger hospital in the city where there was a world-renowned specialist that worked there that would be able to handle the situation. So they did. Soon as they got John in the hospital, the doctor put John in a coma. And he started putting all kind of medicine into him. He was in the coma for 3 days. The doctor went to the mother and said, "It's not working. His pulse is getting weaker." The mother told the doctor, "Take him off of all kind of medicine that you have on him. I want you to wake him up from the coma. And tomorrow morning, I want you to take him off of the ventilator. I want John to breathe on his own and fight for his life. And I put it in God's hands where he wants John to be." And that's exactly what they did. In the morning, they took him off the ventilator, and then they waited. It was only a short period of time when John opened up his eyes, and he seen his mother, and he spoke and said, "Mom." They kept him in the hospital for a while, giving him breathing exercises, doing all kinds of tests to see if there was anything wrong with John. They kept him there for a few weeks, and then John and his mother walked out of the hospital with him, John having a clean bill of health. There was nothing wrong with him. February 28th, he went back to school and played in the next basketball game that they had and scored 30 points. Does God still answer prayers today like he did back in the day with a miracle sometimes? I'd have to say absolutely yes. God never changes. God is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. Romans 9:15 says, God speaking, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy on, and I will have compassion whom I will have compassion." Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This doesn't mean that those who are still before the Lord are going to escape life's dangers. But it does mean that they have the ability to live within the calm and in the midst of that. If you never acquainted yourself with the depths of God's love and his call for you to live in that love, your life will be filled full of anxieties and worries. When you learn to turn your confidence towards God and cast all your cares on him, you can be calm in the midst of life's storms. One evening, Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee. Weary after a long day's ministry, Jesus fell asleep in the boat. A strong storm arose. The disciples were terrified. They cried out to Jesus, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus entrusted himself to his heavenly Father. Having made that commitment, he could sleep through the storm. But when he was awoken by the disciples, he solved the problem by a miracle. It is easy for us to panic when we face serious concerns. The loss of a job, a family member having cancer, a wayward child, or financial problems. So we pray and we start doing everything we can think of to move forward in a positive way. But we still worry. We know it's a waste of time. We know we should be putting all our trust in God. But then we wonder, what's he going to do? That's when we should turn to the Bible to let his word remind us that he is walking with us and asking us to turn over our worries and our burdens. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." Philippians 4:19 says, "And God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory of Christ Jesus." There are 4 points that I'd like to bring out about worrying. Point 1, worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. Worrying is waste of very precious time. Worrying won't help you solve a problem or bring about a solution. So why waste your time and energy on worrying? Matthew 6:7-29 says, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work. They don't make clothing. But yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are." Topic: worry. Worry or work. Studies show that more people die from worry than from work. This should come as no surprise. However, for the law of averages is in the worrier's favor. At any given moment, there are more people worrying than working. Point 2. Worrying is not good for you. Worrying is very destructive in many ways. It can become a mental burden that could cause you to be physically sick. Worry can cause ulcers, mental problems, and can have destructive health effects that shortens your life. No amount of worrying will add even 1 hour to one's life. Matthew 6:27. Therefore, why do we worry? The Bible teaches us that we should deal with each day's problem as they occur and not to be obsessed on future things that might not even happen. Matthew 6:34. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up." Topic: worry. Unseen symptoms. A woman was so certain that she had an incurable liver condition that she went to the doctors to find out all about it. The doctor assured her she was all right. "You wouldn't know if you had this condition because it causes no discomfort of any kind." "Oh my goodness," gasped the lady. "Those are my symptoms exactly." Point 3, worrying is the opposite of trusting in God. The energy that we spend worrying can be put to much better use in prayer. Here's a little formula to remember. Worry replaced by prayer equals trust. When I think of trust and somebody that had complete trust in God, I have to think about the life of Job. Job was a blameless and an upright man, feared God, shunned evil. When God left Satan have his way with Job, Job lost everything he had. His cattle, his sheep, his camels. His children were all killed. And then Satan struck Job with painful boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. His friends all turned against him. His wife even told her husband, "Just curse God and die." But through it all, Job kept his trust in God's will. Now, Job 42, verses 12 and 13 says, "Now the Lord blessed the later days of Job more so than the beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters." Job was a very wealthy man. I believe few of us are traveling to heaven in a state of all freedom from fear. Who can honestly testify that they've always practiced this verse? "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid." Psalms 56:11. We do put our trust in God, and yet we are troubled at times by gnawing worries. Our common experience is that our trust in God is mingled with episodes of worry. Even the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament letters, was anxious at times. He confessed to the Corinthians, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." 1 Corinthians 2:3. So don't worry that you have worries. Don't say that you never get them. If you're troubled by anxieties, admit them to yourself. Share them with a trusted friend. And above all, talk to the all-compassionate friend, Jesus Christ, who knows your every thought and your every emotion. Psalms 139:4. With compassion, he says to you, "Do not fear." Luke 12:32. Ask him for the grace to help you overcome your fears and your worries. On our journey through life, whenever you're afraid, trust in the Lord. Psalms 56:3. Matthew 6:30 says, "And if God cares so wonderfully about wild flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, how much more is he going to care for you?" Why do we have so little faith? Point 4. Worry puts our focus in the wrong direction. Worries increase when we become focused on things of this world. Jesus said the treasures of this world are subject to decay and can be taken away. But heavenly treasures are secure. Matthew 6:19. Therefore, set your priorities on God and not on money. Matthew 6:24. Man worries about such things as having food and clothing and is given life by God. God provides life. With the concerns of life are meaningless. When we keep our eyes focused on God, we remember His love for us and can realize we truly have nothing to worry about. God has a wonderful plan for our life. And part of that plan is taking care of us. Even in the difficult times when it seems like God doesn't care, we can put our trust in the Lord and focus on His kingdom. Luke 10:38-42 says, Jesus visited the home of the sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha was busy with many details trying to make Jesus and His disciples comfortable, while Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word coming out of His mouth. Martha complained to Jesus, saying that Mary should be helping her. But Jesus told Martha, "You are worried and anxious about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Luke 10:41-42. What is this one thing that freed Mary from the busyness and the worries it experienced by her sister? Mary chose to focus on Jesus, listen to Him, and ignore the immediate demands of hospitality. I do not believe that Mary was being irresponsible. Rather, she wanted to experience and learn from Jesus first, and later, when He was done speaking, she would fulfill her duties. Mary had her priorities straight. Put God first, and He will free us up from worries and take care of the rest of our concerns. Matthew 6:25 says, "That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, enough drink, or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothes?" Matthew 6:31-33 says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?'" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need. I'd like to finish this sermon by reading you a memo from God. "Today, I will be handling all of your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If the devil happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly put it in the SFJTD, Something for Jesus to Do box. It will be addressed in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed into the box, do not hold on to it or remove it. Holding on or removal will delay the resolution of your problem. If it is a situation that you think you are capable of handling, please consult me in prayer to be sure that it is a proper resolution. Because I do not sleep, nor do I slumber, there is no need for you to lose any sleep. Rest, my child. If you need to contact me, I'm only a prayer away. God." As Christians, we need to stop worrying about every little thing and just put it in God's hands. God's love for us will see us through our daily concerns and our situations. Amen for that. If anyone's here today that needs to make a decision for Christ, or even just rededicate your life that you're going to lead a more Christ-like life, Now's the time to do it. There'll be somebody in the back while we sing the invitation song.